Welcome to Just Break Up, the podcast about love, heartbreak, and all the relationship advice you don't want to hear. My name is Sierra DeMolder.
And I'm Sam Blackwell. And today we're going to answer a letter from somebody who's wondering if she did something untrustworthy. But before we begin, we just want to give you our Surgeon General's warning, which is that Sierra and I are not licensed mental health practitioners.
No, we are not. We are not professionals. We are podcast hosts. So please take our advice as you see fit.
The worst type of people, podcast hosts.
Yeah, we're almost talk show hosts. Almost.
We're so close.
Yeah, but Drew it's Barrymore, more like talk radio, which makes me feel like we're in the wrong community. Do you know what I mean? Like that. The only talk radio people I can think of, I don't like.
That's absolutely true.
Well, I mean,
I like NPR, you know, like the news. No,
but
and
I'm
stuff.
Talking talk radio, yeah, like Howard Stern.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, like Sirius XM. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just don't know any good ones. Okay, so we are only here to offer our humble musings, so hopefully shed some understanding and maybe some laughs about the incredibly rewarding, but mostly confusing experience that is love. So, yeah.
All right, let's get into it. All right, so today's letter comes from Ro G, whose pronouns are she, her, who is writing from Sadville, Massachusetts. Doesn't sound like a real place. Sounds fake.
I'm sure it's a real place.
Hi, Sam and Sierra. Thank you for taking the time to read and hopefully answer this. I will jump right in. I, 25, she, her, have been on dating apps for a while now and met my most recent partner on the apps. Let's call him Joey, 26, he, him. Joey and I were casual for 2 months and then recently decided we wanted to be more. Well, shortly after deciding to be something more, my job sent me to the West Coast, aka the other side of the country, for 2 months. This happens often, so it's nothing new for me, but it was a concern for the very new relationship. Joey had done long distance before and wasn't interested in it again, but really wanted to be with me, so he said, let's try it. Well, things quickly fell apart because just a couple weeks after I left town for work, I got news that my grandmother was in the hospital. It was very sudden and out of nowhere. I was terrified, and Joey was trying his hardest to be a support system, but he just never knew what to say. Fair, I don't blame him. But even so, he was always there. But now enters a friend of mine, we'll call him Peter, 25, he, him, who works with the same company, but on the West Coast. I only ever see Peter when I'm in town for work since he's local and he's new to the company. So we've only known each other for a few months. When I met Peter, I had a big crush on him, but nothing has happened, nor do I think it ever will. We've established a very good platonic friendship and I'm happy with it. Well, I told Peter about my grandmother and he has been so supportive. I think him being around has made his support feel different from Joey's. Not better or worse, just different, and frankly, what I needed. We'd hang out and he'd distract me and it meant a lot. A few weeks into being out of town, my grandma passed away. I wasn't home when it happened, and it's been the cause of a lot of guilt and pain. Both Joey and Peter were very supportive through all of this. I told Joey the truth about my past feelings for Peter and that we're just friends, but that we're hanging out and that he's been a good support for me being out here because I can't go home to be with my family. Joey said it was giving him some anxiety, but overall it was fine. Because of his anxiety, I asked if any boundaries needed to be put into place before Peter and I hung out again, but Joey said no. That same night, Peter came over to the company apartment where I have roommates, and we watched a movie and had some drinks. We stayed up until 5 a.m. talking and drinking, and we agreed Peter should sleep on the couch instead of driving 40 minutes home after having been drinking all night. I texted Joey to let him know Peter was staying over, hoping communication was best. Well, I was wrong. I woke up to a text from Joey saying that we needed to talk, and when I called him, he told me it was too much and he couldn't be with me anymore. That I should have known it was inappropriate to have another guy who I'm attracted to stay the night and that I kept him up all night. He said he couldn't handle that feeling and we ended it. A week before, he was supposed to come visit me. I tried my hardest to have a conversation about it, apologizing and begging him to talk it out, and he wouldn't. We FaceTime a few days later and talked for 3 hours trying to figure out if there was any fixing it, but he said there wasn't. Not right now. He even accused me of sleeping with Peter, which I absolutely never have. He plans to start therapy and wants to figure out if all of this is a trauma response due to an ex who made him develop some pretty bad trust issues and decide if he overreacted. When I get back from this work trip, we're supposed to talk again. What do you all think? How wrong was I? I feel just awful and I see it from Joey's perspective, but I never had any ill intentions and I certainly wouldn't end a relationship over it because absolutely nothing happened. Is there any fixing this? If he already has bad trust issues, what can I do to establish trust between us? How do I make long distance and trust during travel work if I often travel for work? How do I get him back? What are your thoughts on communication about and relationships with exes, friends you had or have feelings for, etc.? Please tell me how to fix this. Thank you.
Oh, my darling. I'm so sorry that this all happened and that you're feeling, you know, so interrupted by all of it. You know, I think it's confusing. I think it's emotional. I think there's lots of back and forth happening here, I'm sure, in your heart about who's at fault and how can you do better and how can you get this person back? And, you know, I also know it's really frustrating to feel, to be accused of being untrustworthy when you feel like you are incredibly trustworthy. Yeah, there's just like a lot of complicated emotions going on in this, on top of the fact that you're going through a breakup, a long distance breakup in a new city. Like, that's all challenging.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we are going to dive into some of our thoughts about the situation, ideas about how to move forward or not move forward with your ex, and what's going on with Peter in just a minute or two. But first, we have to take a very quick break.
Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about? I will tell you that I 100% am in that 75% of people. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had maybe, I don't know, 15 subscriptions, but I couldn't believe it when actually I had way more than that. And it was things that I both had forgotten about and not forgotten about, but like seeing it all in one place was a real sort of amazing moments of clarity for me. From streaming services and fitness apps and delivery services, like everyone's trying to sell you a subscription now. And Rocket Money is great because it helps make sure that you're no longer wasting money on the ones that you forgot about.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. I love how the dashboard helps me see this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. It is humbling and incredibly helpful. Uh-huh. And they'll also help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
That's rocketmoney.com/justbreakup. rocketmoney.com/justbreakup.
All right, everyone, welcome back. So to start off, I just want to say that, like, I really appreciate the ways that you have tried to be really honest and communicative about the situation and what the boundaries are in sort of navigating a long distance relationship with somebody who has told you that long distance relationships are tough, right? And I'm calling it long distance because, you know, even though you're away for 2 months, like, that's a good chunk of time. And the stuff around long distance relationships are going to continue to come up if you're living away from your significant other. So, you know, I really appreciate that you, you know, talked to him about, like, yeah, I've got this coworker, he's really great, you know, and nothing's going to happen between us. I appreciate that you, when he told you he was uncomfortable, you were like, okay, so can we establish some boundaries? Like, what would help make you feel more comfortable? Like, what are things that are inside and outside? And I would really want to recognize the fact that, you know, he didn't say, Joey didn't say anything about what was okay or not okay. So I can really relate to the surprise you felt when he was like, this is deeply unacceptable. I can't believe that you did this, because you were like, what's on and off the table? And he said, I don't know, nothing's off the table. And you were like, okay, but sounds like something is now on the table, right? Like sounds like there's a rule I wasn't aware of, and now it's really biting me in the butt. So I just want to name all of that up front, that I like see you trying to be communicative, trying to help figure out like what are the rules and boundaries around this long distance stuff, and around the fact that you have this coworker who you kind of had a crush on and that you seem to be really connecting with. And I'll also say that like I can also see this from Joey's perspective as well, right? Like the fact that, you know, this person in my life who is long distance from me told me that she is like had a crush on this person, and that he's like been really supportive in ways that I haven't. And now they're like staying up till 5 a.m. drinking together. Like I can imagine that that would set off a lot of alarm bells and concerns in someone's head. Right. So I'm really not trying to paint either of you as like being absurd in this situation. Right.
Yes,
like
I don't necessarily think
you did anything like black and white wrong. And I also can totally understand that this feels like a really big breach to Joey, right? Like, I think that you are both in the right and also incompatible in how you're understanding the situation, right? And that is so much of the complexity and nuance of things that exist outside of Reddit, you know? Like, the real world is not like, am I the asshole or not the asshole? The real world is, fuck, we miscommunicated with each other about what is happening here,
yeah,
right? Like,
totally.
Fuck, we're really misunderstanding the meaning behind the actions that we're taking, and in ways that may be completely incompatible, right? Like, in ways that may break us beyond repair. And
right.
And that I think is like the tender tragedy of this situation. Aww. Is that this is like, that's the crux of this, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes we can try and do everything right, and everything can still break apart in our hands, you know?
Yeah.
Like we can really try and be on the same page about stuff and discover irreparably that we weren't on the same page about this thing, and now what's done is done. And
you're
like, that's
totally
so
right.
Hard.
You're
you know?
So right. Because I'm sitting here thinking about how I have been both people here. Like I think
for sure
I would spontaneously combust if I got a text message like that.
At five in the morning. Yeah.
You know, because insecurities take control, and the narratives that we tell ourselves in our heads are really scary. And also, just like, I guess in your ex's defense, that like I didn't do well with long distance and trust issues, because it was really hard to have those touchstones, to have those conversations, to have that security and secureness within me to call upon. Because when you know you can't go see that person, not in a controlling way or anything, but when you know they're really far away and there's no way to be, it's, you know, you're alone. You're talking yourself out of these fears by yourself. I would spontaneously combust. Like I would probably have a very comparable reaction that your boyfriend had. And also, I have been the person who is like, so you didn't tell me that you felt uncomfortable, or like you didn't tell me you didn't want me hanging out with this person. I'm participating within the bounds that you have presented to me. We were just having a good and natural and innocent time. We're connecting, whatever. He slept on the couch. I told, you know, like I even communicated. I went above and beyond to communicate my trustworthiness. And sometimes our actions still trigger our partner's insecurities. And I think in this instance, like, it makes a lot of sense to me that he was really triggered by this. And more importantly, and unfortunately, something in this letter that really resonated with me is your ex coming to you the next day and being like, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I have the bandwidth to to navigate trust and relationship building, because this is still a new relationship, right? Like you were, quote, casual for 2 months and then you went long distance. So you're still learning each other. You're still getting to know, you're still building that foundation of your relationship. I understand why your partner was like, I don't think I can build. I don't have the energy or the resources or the skills to do this nicely.
For like, sure.
And that's what he's really saying there. I think that I guarantee you he said it in a way that he'll regret, like accusing you of sleeping with them. Like, that's probably hurtful and unnecessary and yeah. like too much bravado in there, because what he means is I can't control my insecurities and I'm going to lash out. You can't soothe my jealousy or you know, like he's yep. recognizing that building trust is hard in person. Building trust is hard in secure and independent relationships, and doing it long distance in relationships that don't have that foundation is even harder. It's not impossible, but I do like no right or no wrong side here. I appreciate that he's like, I can't do what we would need to do to make this work is ultimately what he's saying. And damn, if that's not like a very honest and very painful statement to hear.
I don't know what's going on in his head or what is true for him. But what I will say is that, like, I think what he is saying, whether or not he's aware of it, is that, like, he can't function under the circumstances of this relationship, not even necessarily about you as a person, right? Like, it's not that he is probably saying this out loud, right? To be clear, because he did accuse you of sleeping with him. But yeah. I think what is actually happening for Joey, yeah, no, like I don't yeah. like that one bit, because you didn't and he should believe you. But what I think is coming up for him is that, like, the stressors of this relationship are making him incapable of trusting, not that yes. you are an untrustworthy person, you know?
Ugh, that's so hard.
And I think that that's really true here, right? Like, you're saying to us, I'm not untrustworthy. Nothing happened. And he's saying, I can't trust in this relationship. And I think you're both right. Like, I think that you are trustworthy and have done nothing wrong. And that the circumstances of this relationship with the long distance, the stuff that he's been through with his ex, like, is just making it hard for him to trust in this relationship. And that's something that he needs to work out, right? Like, that's something that he needs to do therapy around, stuff that he needs to unpack about, like, what does trust look like for him and building towards that. And I wish that for him. I don't know that you two are in the right type of relationship to be able to, like, figure out what trust looks like for you as two people in this, right? Like, I think that would be really tricky in this particular moment, given that, like, all of this is so fraught and he's clearly really triggered by what happened here, which is both understandable and perhaps an overreaction, right? Like, both of those things are true. So, like, how do you fix this? I don't know that this is fixable. I think if you're gonna try and have a relationship about, like, what does this look like, you're gonna need to not just be apologizing all the time, because, like, what I think you also need to be thinking about is, like, what does it look like for you to trust me, right? Like, what are the things that are okay and not okay about my friendship with Peter, right? Like, where you're gonna have to draw out of him some, like, more clarity around what he would want or what he would need out of this. And it sounds like he's not in a place where he can give that or wants to give that in this moment. But I don't think that the way forward in you two continuing to date is that you just, like, make yourself small and apologize for everything that you do, you know, which is, like, I think what happens in a lot of relationships where trust has been breached and the folks aren't in it in a way that, like, leads to, or, like, aren't able to process that in a way that's constructive and healthy, right? Like, then it becomes, you have to send me a picture of you every time you're in bed.
Yeah, that's a direct call out to me.
That's absolutely.
And my coping mechanisms.
Which were understandable and deeply relatable and, like...
Oh, and fucking just awful. I was awful in that relationship. He was right? awful to me and I was awful to him.
Absolutely, because that's like how these relationships tend to go when we're both in our camps, right? And we're trying to be like, who's wrong, who's right, right? Like, and instead of being like, okay, well, what does it look like for us to, like, actually learn how to trust each other? And it sounds like he's not in a place where he can say that to you, right? Like, it sounds like everything that you've said so far. So I don't want you to think, like, I have to make this relationship work. And the only way for me to do that is to give up my privacy, right? Or continue to apologize for things that I don't feel like I did anything wrong about, or act within what you were told the boundaries of the relationship are, and then have the boundaries be moved on you again, right? Like, that's where the toxic sort of like mistrust can really create really troubling relationships. So I think that you need to recognize that it's not about you. It's about whether or not he has the ability to trust given the circumstances of this particular relationship.
Yeah, I think that's so beautifully said. And just one thing to tack onto that, the idea of pushing back on the urge to fix things instead of to learn from them. Okay, what are my feelings for Peter? What are my feelings for my partner who just broke up with me? Like, what are they? What do they bring? What does my partner or my ex bring to my life that I am prioritizing fixing over sitting in this discomfort of this breakup and being like, how sustainable is it for us to be in a long distance relationship right now? How does it contribute to my life? You know, instead of just doing the next thing to keep the relationship together, which, you know, makes a lot of sense. Like, we all do that. And I think we should all seek joy and seek connection, which often means keep staying together or working it out. But I know in me, I have a very strong compulsive need to fix things before I learn from them, before I assess them, you know, like, oh my God, somebody's mad at me. Somebody thinks I slept with somebody else, even though I absolutely didn't. Let me fix it. Not being like, wait a minute, I didn't cheat on you. You know what I mean? And learning from that experience, and learning like, maybe I don't want to be with somebody who doesn't trust me, you know?
Yeah. That's important. Absolutely. Yeah.
We know this is complicated. Sorry. We know this is complicated. We know that there's a lot of, desires that are being crossed right now, and a lot of confusion and heartbreak, right? Also, I'm sorry you lost your grandmother. You're also grieving in all of this.
For sure.
So I hope you're taking care of yourself, and you're being compassionate to yourself. And we hope this helps.
Absolutely. Thanks for writing. We love you. All right, everyone. It is Friday, which means that we are going to set you up on a blind date. So this is when we try and send you home with something that we think you're really going to love. And this week we want to set you up with.
It's a book. I hinted at it earlier last week. It's called How to Keep House While Drowning, A Gentle Approach to Cleaning and Organizing. I want to say lots of things about this book. First, I'm going to tell you what they say that you will learn from this book. You'll learn how to shift your perspective of care tasks, you know, like doing the dishes, folding laundry, cleaning your space, from moral to functional. Like, care tasks are morally neutral, which is very helpful to me. You'll learn how to stop negative self-talk and shame around care tasks and how you show up to them, how to give yourself permission to rest, and how to motivate yourself to take care of yourself and your space. This book was suggested to me, and there's a podcast that goes along with it. I think the author has like a very popular TikTok. It's very short. It's a quick and easy read, and it's also a quick and easy audiobook listen if that's how you consume your books. I thought there were so many really helpful, tangible, profound ideas about care tasks and the shame that we experience about like not being able to like stay on top of our dishes. I definitely recommend this wholeheartedly. And also, I want to say a couple caveats that while I was reading it, I was like, and also I'm still suggesting it. Meaning there were a couple things that gave me pause, but I appreciated how the author approached them, addressed them, acknowledged them. And I am still like two thumbs up promoting this book. The first one is, because she's trying to help people who are often going through, either mental health issues or, the expanse of neurodiversity and how we deal with tasks and executive functioning. She offers a lot of alternatives that include things that are anti-carbon neutral, you know, like if you can't get yourself to clean the dishes, like why not you eat on paper plates once a week, you know, paper plates is like nothing. But she also talks about like the shame around not being able to regularly clean your teeth, right? And how something she did to combat that was buy individual packaged pre-pasted toothbrushes. And she acknowledges in this book really well, I think, about that choice and about what it means for the world and for, you know, climate change and stuff like that. And also acknowledges something I appreciated, which is that like we tend to have less problem with single use plastics when they are used by quote unquote, like normal, neurotypical and healthy bodies, right?
Sure.
Able bodies, you know, like gel packets that marathoners use and things like that. It's it's when differently abled or neuroatypical bodies are making their lives easier that we're like, oh, well, there's laziness involved, you know? So
sure, I thought
the author handled that really well. And also it made me like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Plastic, single-use plastic.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Which is its own moral thing.
Exactly. That, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah, 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 yeah. So I wanted to say that out loud and still recommend the book. And I also wanted to add, this is very rooted in caretaking and care tasks as a parent. The author is a parent, and they tried to write the book for people and who have children and who don't have children, who are caretakers for other humans, adults and children, or who aren't just caretakers for themselves. She acknowledges that a lot of the caretaking space is pushed towards parenting. I think she could have hit it on the head a little bit more because I know that the book comes off very much as for parents. But I would still really, really recommend it, parent or not. If you are a person who says, oh my God, I have a laundry pile in my room that I never fold. I'm such a bad person. I'm so ashamed of it. Or why can't I get these stupid things done? Like, I'm so stupid. Give it a read. It's really fast. It's really quick. And the content is also generally available online for free through podcasting and TikTok and stuff like that. It's called How to Keep a House While Drowning by Casey Davis.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like more content from us, or if you would like access to our monthly office hours, you can support us on Patreon. If you support us on Patreon for as little as $5 a month, you'll get an additional bonus weekly episode, as well as access to those office hours. That's patreon.com/justbreakuppod.
You can slide into our DM, send us your favorite relationship meme, but most importantly, you can submit your questions about all matters of the heart at justbreakuppod.com, which is also where you can find our merchandise.
Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review. This literally keeps our mics on and helps us reach more brokenhearted souls who need two random strangers giving them relationship advice.
Just Break Up is a production of Duvide Media, original music, recording, editing, producing all magical things by our good friend Spencer Worth Davis. Make sure to check out his podcast and his music. And remember, just because things are going wrong doesn't mean you are on the wrong path. Just because things feel crunchy and sticky and painful doesn't mean you aren't exactly where you need to be. Sometimes change is something that we orchestrate, and other times change is something that is brought upon us. But it doesn't mean that we are in the wrong place. And if all else fails,
just break up.